This lesson is TBP number 16, and the title of this lesson is Doing Works in Jesus' Name, Part 2.
What we're talking about here, still, I'm going to orient you a little bit because, you know, I don't want you to get lost here. We're still talking about prayer of faith. Remember we started off months ago talking about the prayer of faith? Well, we're still on it. We're just on a different facet of it. Just by way of a little bit of review, the steps to praying the prayer of faith, is, at least as I see it in the Bible, is first of all, decide what you want. And our classic text is Mark 11, 23 and 24. And Mark 11, 24, there Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, when you pray, and then you shall have it." Okay? And so, all wrapped up in that are these ingredients. First of all, decide what you want before you pray. That makes sense, doesn't it? Then find it in the Word so that you can have something when that enemy attacks to base your faith on. You know, what does the Word say? So, number one, decide what you want. Number two, find it in the Word. Number three, meditate on that Word until a point comes where you can believe that you receive when you pray. And that Word becomes real to you. Number four, you know, if there's any obstacles or anything that might be blocking prayer, you know, unforgiveness, anything like that, get rid of it. Number five, now that's what we're on now, is praying in Jesus' name. Okay? Just so that you know why we're talking about praying in Jesus' name. And then number six, I think, was believe you receive when you pray. And number seven was after you've prayed. After you've prayed, let every thought, word, and action correspond to the fact that you believe you received when you prayed. In other words, when the enemy comes to attack you and the manifestation hasn't yet occurred, but you have prayed in those intervening period of time, don't give up. In other words, don't let your confession say, you know, I don't know, maybe I prayed, but who knows, you know, I mean, maybe God didn't hear me. Don't give up. You got to hang in there. The Word says that by faith and patience we inherit the promises in Hebrews. So that's the last step, and that sometimes is the hardest step, because a lot of times we can get really pumped up when we pray. We've got some friends around, we're agreeing, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're not at church or wherever, we're home, you know, and the enemy attacks and things don't look like they're going good. Maybe the situation looks worse. Well, that's the time you got to really believe that you received when you prayed. Okay, so we're talking about the name of Jesus. Last week we talked about the fact, or 2 weeks ago, the fact that we can pray in Jesus' name. John 16, 23 was our text. And Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name of my Father, he will give it you." So that's the prayer of petition in Jesus' name, okay? That's just prayer in Jesus' name. But last week we covered a little bit different prayer in Jesus' name. It's not even really a prayer. It's really, in John 14, it's talking about doing the works of Jesus. What did Jesus do? What were his works? Well, he went around casting devils out of people, healing people. Well, he said we can do these works, and even greater works can we do because we go to the Father. I mean, he goes to the Father, not us, him. Okay, so there's praying in Jesus' name for a petition, something you want from God, but there's also doing the works in Jesus' name. You know, if Matt needed the devil cast out of him, was agreeable, we could walk up to him in the name of Jesus and just command that devil to get out of him. Couldn't we? If he was agreeable. Now, if he wanted to keep that old devil, he could, but if he was agreeable, we could do that. So I just want to point out there's two aspects to this thing there, you know, and if you really want to get it, a really neat study going, and I'll just mention this, you know, just kind of by summing up here. Remember Mark 11, 23 and 4 said, Jesus said, "Who shall ever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Remember that? Speaking to that mountain? Well, John 14, 13, doing the works of Jesus is the parallel to that thing, where you're doing the works of Jesus. You're speaking to things. You're commanding the devil to come out in Jesus' name. Okay? You're speaking to the one with sickness, and you're saying, "Be healed in Jesus' name." See, you're speaking to that mountain. It's just in one verse, Mark 11, 23, he's emphasizing faith. Where in John 14, 13, he's emphasizing the name of Jesus. It's the same thing. It's just that Jesus is emphasizing two different things there. You see that? That's the other side of that. So you got to put the whole thing together in the Word of God. That's where people miss it. They get one little part and they say, "Oh, got the whole formula. Go off and do it." But see, the Word of God It's not complex, but it's just, you got to dig. It's like gold. You know, you keep digging, you can find that vein. And once you find it, it's yours forever. So Mark 11:23 and John 14:13 kind of go together. Well, it's kind of neat that Mark 11:24 and John 16:23 kind of go together. Where in Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them." He's talking about prayer here now, isn't he? And he's saying you have to believe you receive when you pray. John 16:23, Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name of my Father, he'll give it to you." He's still talking about prayer, but now he's emphasizing his name. So it's kind of interesting that Jesus covered both cases. The prayer to his Father in his name, Jesus' name, but believing you receive when you pray that prayer, and also doing the works in Jesus' name, healing, laying hands on the sick. But then you speak to that obstacle or whatever it is in the name of Jesus, okay? Now let's just turn to Mark, the 16th chapter, and we'll see basically the same thing as John 14:13, where it said that if you believe on me, in my name shall you do the works that I do, and even greater works shall you do. We're still talking about works. Mark calls these works what? Signs. Same thing. Signs, wonders, and works are kind of used interchangeably throughout the Gospels. So Jesus is talking here in verse 15, and he says, "Go into all the world," and now this is kind of important. In verse 14 it says he's talking to the 11 as they sat at meat. This is after he has ascended from the dead, okay? He's come up out of the grave. He's come from hell. He's back, you know. He's been given all authority. His name has been exalted above every name now. So he's appeared to the 11, and he's kind of been, you know, a little bit talking to them about the fact that they didn't really show a lot of faith in believing that he had been seen after he'd risen. And he goes on to say four verses of things that he's saying now before he goes back to sit at the right hand of the Father. So don't you believe that these four things would be kind of important? This is his last thing he says to his disciples. So he says, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned." Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, Jesus is cutting through everything right here. He's just saying it the way it is, you know. Okay, preach the gospel. The one that believes and hears what you said, he's going to be saved. The one that doesn't believe, he's going to be damned. And then he says something else. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." The believers, okay? These signs should be following us. We're believers, right? Aren't we the ones that believe? What's going to follow? Okay, what works? What signs, as Mark calls them? This is the same thing that John talked about in 14:13. In my name, now Mark is giving a little more detail to it. He's telling you specifically some of the things that we will be able to do as believers. "In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Okay, now it's kind of interesting, I think, that today most of the body of Christ, or the church at large, believes that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, most churches believe that. "He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe will be damned." You know, I mean, you throw a few churches out with that, but basically the mainline churches will go with that too. But boy, when you get down to these next few verses, that leaves them behind. But see, the thing is, it's said to the same people, believers, right? All these verses are talking to the same persons. You know, get down here, this speaketh new tongues in my name. Well, that leaves a lot of churches behind. But yet it's spoken all in the same context, isn't it? That ought to be a good verse you could use to show someone that's open to the reality of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Say, "Well, do you believe you're saved? You know, you believe in believing on Jesus?" "Yeah, I believe in that." "You believe if you don't believe, you'll be damned?" "Yeah, I believe that. We need Jesus." Well, here's some more signs. It's right in the same paragraph. Okay, now, it's always good to have a little example, isn't it? Let me just give you a little example of this business of casting out devils, okay? You don't have to be a believer for 20 years to cast a devil out. All you got to do is be a what? Believer, period. A little child, 8 years old, can cast a devil out if he needs to. They've got the same authority that we have, that have been Christians for years and years and years. Now let me tell you a little story of what happened to me when I was a very young Christian. I used to run a lot, run marathons, all that kind of thing. And when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and received the Lord, as you do many times, you can feel the Lord speaking to you, and you don't know at first when you're a new Christian it's the Lord or what it is. You just know you have these feelings. And I could sense that the Lord was asking me to not to give up this running a bit. I mean, it was like a God to me, you know. Run 60 miles a week, you know, run these marathons, you know, and kind of look down on anybody that couldn't really run a long ways and was overweight and all that kind of thing, you know. I mean, that's where I was in the world when I got saved. And so I thought, well, I'll compromise. You know how you do with the Lord. He tells you to do something. You think, I'll compromise. So I thought, what I'll do is I'll continue. See, I used to run 10 miles every noon. So I'd say, and during my noon hour, I'll still run, but I'll compromise with the Lord. What I'll do, and I got this little plastic container for a little New Testament I had, and I strapped it around my waist and put it down under my running shorts, and I would run off to this park, and I'd read the Word for a little while, and then I'd run back. I thought, now that's a good compromise. God wants me to read His Word. I could sense He wanted to teach me some things, but I still wanted to run. Well, okay, so I was off in this park. It didn't work too good. I'd get there, and there's sweat dropping on my Bible and, you know, and everything, and I'm trying to do that, and then I'd run back, and it just wasn't working. But one day, I was sitting there under this tree with the sweat dripping on my Bible, trying to read it, and I said, Lord, you know I'm saved and know I'm Spirit-filled, but there's still something not quite right. You know, I'm forgiven. I knew that, but there was something that was just was just like a bondage still. It was something that was, I don't know how to even explain it. It was just something still hanging on. It just seemed to be, and I was saved and everything. Don't get me wrong. So I had had a little teaching. You know, I had a few tapes I'd listened to. And in this tape, it told me basically what I'm telling you tonight. That in the name of Jesus, we can cast out devils. So I said to out loud, sitting under this oak tree in this park, I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I don't want anything to do with you, anything in my past life I may have done. You know, I must have been a spirit-led prayer because I didn't know too much. I may have done that's encouraged you or brought you into my life in such a way that's created some sort of bondage. I want it broken. I don't want it in my life. I renounce you, everything about you, all your works, all your maneuvers, all your operations in my life up to this point, in Jesus' name. Leave me alone. I'm a Christian now. And I prayed that prayer and ran back to my office and went back to work. Didn't think any more about it. You know, nothing happened and I could tell. So that night I'm laying in bed, okay, and I'm sound asleep, just laying there. Marianne's at my side, laying there, and all of a sudden something's happening inside me. And I could feel a stirring down deep inside of me. Something was agitated. Something was moving around. I don't know anything. I don't know how this is, you know, I say this with a little trepidation because I don't want you to think I'm a kook, but I think most of you know me. No, I'm not probably a kook. I may be a little over-conservative in some areas. So I'm not your average flaky Christian, I don't think. If I am, you know, it's well hidden as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, something's stirring around in there, okay? And all of a sudden this thing starts coming up inside. And I'm laying there in bed thinking, what is going on? And I could feel something moving up inside, coming up towards my head, and all of a sudden it came out my mouth. And I knew what it was. I mean, I was just calm. I wasn't going, oh man, this is weird. I was perfectly calm, just laying there thinking, you know, something's really coming up inside my body here, and it's coming out my mouth, whatever this thing is. And it came out of my mouth, and as it left my mouth, I heard an audible sound. I may have been in the spirit, I don't know, because Marianne didn't wake up. And it was sort of like, boop, sort of like a sound you get when you pull a cork out of a bottle. Boop. And I thought, now that's interesting. You know? And then pretty soon, here it comes again. There's a stirring down inside, and here comes something else up inside. Came up, came out my mouth again, and as it left, went, boop. Just like that again, twice. And whatever it was, whatever bonds, whatever oppression, whatever it is what I was feeling, has never returned to this day. Now, I was just a baby Christian, but I just used that name and forgot about it. And God, somewhere in the past, I don't know where it happened, but, you know, maybe in one time I thought back, you know, we bought a Ouija board before we were Christians. And that's strictly against the rules, okay? It's a bad thing to get. And even as a non-Christian, I had that Ouija board. We bought it for a party. We had another couple over. We thought, what do we do tonight? We usually played password or something. So let's do something different. So I went down to this drugstore, bought this Ouija board. I didn't know what it was. I just knew that you kind of ask it questions and stuff. I didn't know it was of the devil. So we brought it home, and we just sat down and started to, just sat it down and started to play. And I said, nope, I don't know. I just don't do this. And I folded it up, and right in the middle of the party, I took it back down and got my money back at this drugstore, left and everything, you know. You know, with me, you don't leave any loose ends. You take care of it today, you know, whatever. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. That's just kind of the way I am. Well, I'm not going to. But something just said even then, don't mess with this thing. And I wasn't even a Christian, you know. So I'm just pointing that out tonight as an example of what the name of Jesus can do.
Right.
It's powerful. You know, turn to Philippians chapter. Well, we're out of time tonight. But it basically says that Jesus has a name above every name, a name of which every knee must bow. You know, everyone in heaven, everything in hell, and everything on earth must bow to that name. And it talks about Jesus being humbled, and now he's exalted with this name. Did you know that to the very degree that humbling and exalting, you ever heard that? He who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. No one ever, ever in the history of the universe has ever humbled himself more than Jesus did. God himself came down here. If you read the scriptures closely, Jesus created this whole thing, the stars, the heavens. Did you know that? He was the agent that did that. That being who created the stars, the heavens, the moon, the sun, the universe, took on the form of a man, came to earth, and allowed men to spit on him and put him on the cross. God himself. Never has anyone been so humbled. But never, friends, has anyone ever been so exalted because of it. And that name is more powerful than any name. And what you need to do is build that into you. Build a faith in the name of Jesus.
Right.
I mean, I feel it inside right now. That name is all powerful. That name is all you need for anything in life. Faith in that name. Remember what they said after they healed the cripple at the Gate Beautiful? Peter said, you were trying to give him credit. And Peter just said, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole, whom you both see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. That name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for that precious, holy, lovely, wonderful name of Jesus that you've given to the body of Christ. Father, just imprint on our spirits the power in the name of Jesus so that we go to pray tonight, Lord, we can use that name with authority and confidence. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. True or false? Anyone may use the name of Jesus to successfully cast out devils. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. What I'm trying to bring out here is not anyone may use this name to successfully cast out devils or heal or do anything else, really. It has to be a believer. And all through the Bible it tells us this. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, whosoever that believeth on me in my name shall he cast out devils. Remember, the requirement there was whosoever is a believer or believeth on me. And it goes on to say that they can cast out devils, they can speak with new tongues, they can do many other things. But the criteria is to be a believer. So the answer to this question is false. As a matter of fact, we have an interesting example in the book of Acts in chapter 19 where a group of brothers tried to cast a devil out of a person, and these brothers were not believers, and the devil ended up attacking them and tearing their clothes off, and they fled naked. So we can see what happens if someone who's not a believer tries to take upon themselves to cast out devils. The reason I have this question in here is I wanted to highlight the fact that not just anyone can do this. Let's go on to the next question because it talks about this a little bit more. True or false? No, this is a privilege reserved for believers. And then I want a scripture. Is this true or false? Well, as I said in the first question, this is true. And I quoted in the first question Mark 16:17, where Jesus said, he that believeth on me in my name shall cast out devils. So if you don't believe on him, and that means being a believer, you're not going to be able to do this. So this is a privilege reserved for believers. And another place that we might take a look at is John chapter 14, verse 12. Let me just read this. Jesus is speaking, and he said, Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Okay, now, in this verse, again, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do. What were some of the works that Jesus did? Well, healing, casting out devils, things like that. And he said that those who believe on him could do the same thing. So again, this is a privilege reserved for believers. We have two witnesses now. We have Mark 16, 17, and now we have John chapter 14, verse 12. Next question. When we make a prayer petition in blank name, we make it to the blank. And again, I want a scripture. When we make a prayer petition in Jesus' name, we make it to the Father. And what's our scripture for that? John 16, 23. Jesus said, if we ask anything of the Father in his name, he will give it us, to us. The Father will give it to us. So we must ask in his name, and we must ask it of the Father. And our scripture for this is John 16, 23. There's another scripture we could use too, John 15, but this is enough to... let me just go back and read what it says in John chapter 15 too, as a second witness. John 15, verse 16, it says, you have not chosen me, Jesus is speaking here, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So again, in prayer, we ask the Father in Jesus' name, and then the Father gives it to us. So there's a second witness in John 15, 16. Next question. When we do this, speaking of this prayer in Jesus' name to the Father, the prayer answer comes from who? Well, it comes from the Father. In both cases, remember, he says, the Father will give it you. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and then the Father gives it to us. So the answer to this question, it goes in this blank, is the Father. When we make a demand for something due, for something we have a Bible right to but don't yet have, we make this demand in blank name to the blank or blank. And I want a scripture. Okay, now this is a little different here. When we make a demand for something due, for something we have a Bible right to but don't yet have, we make this demand in Jesus' name to the devil or circumstances. And our scripture for this is John chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. Let's read that again. We read part of it just a minute ago. Let's read the rest of it. John 14, verse 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And listen, it goes on in verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, as we talked about in our teaching, this word ask here is a Greek word, A-I-T-E-O. And if you look up in the a Greek concordance what this means, and I'm reading from that right now, it says it's a demand for something due. In other words, something covered by your inheritance in Christ. If you're in Christ, you have a right to certain things. And the Bible it tells us what these things are. So really, we could read it this way. And whatsoever you shall demand of something due in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, this is a little different from the prayer petition where we ask the Father in Jesus' name. This is something that we demand as something due of circumstances or the devil, if he's blocking this right that we have to this thing. And so, in this case, it's a little bit different. When we do this, the answer comes from blank. Okay, talking about John 14, 12 now, and 13, when we do this, the answer comes from Jesus. In this case, the answer comes from Jesus, because what it says right here, that I will do it, and Jesus is speaking. So In this case, when you demand of something due of the devil or circumstances, Jesus then brings this to pass. Next question. But Jesus does these works through blank because he is in blank and his body and the things that need to be set right are on the blank. What goes in these blanks? But Jesus does these works through us, or you could say through believers, because he is in heaven and his body and the things that need to be set right are on the earth. So what goes in these blanks? You could say believer, heaven, and earth. What is Jesus' body on the earth? And then I want a scripture. Okay, what is Jesus' body on the earth? Well, the answer to this question, it goes in this blank, are believers. That's Jesus' body on the earth. Jesus is at the head of the church, and he's in heaven. But his body, the body of Christ, is believers, and they're on the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says this, "Now you," talking about Christians, "are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So see, folks, we Christians are the body of Christ. We carry out the will of God on the earth. Jesus is the head, and he's in heaven, but we're his body, and he's given his body the authority to carry out his will on the earth. So scripture you could put in here is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Another scripture that deals with this is Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and it says, speaking of Jesus, "And God the Father has put all things under his feet," talking about Jesus, "and gave him," Jesus, "to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body." See, the church and his body. He's given all these things to do to his body. The head has given it to the body to do. The body's on earth, the head's in heaven. The things that need to be done are on the earth. And that's why the body of Christ is entrusted with this authority to get the will of God done on the earth. Next question. Who is the church? Well, we just read that, didn't we? The church is not a name of a church or denomination, of course. The church is his body on earth, also known as believers. We are his body on the earth, and that is the church. In the last scripture I read to you in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it says, "God has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body." So who is the church? It's his body on earth, also known as believers. Colossians 1, 18 says, "And Jesus is the head of his body, of the body, the church." So folks, all these things go together to tell us this, that God still has a plan that he wants carried out on this earth. The big difference is, since Jesus has gone back to heaven, is he's given his Holy Spirit to believers to carry out his will on the earth. Jesus is the head. He makes up the marching orders. He tells us what to do. But we are his body on the earth, the church, that carries out the will of God. And God has given us his authority and his power to carry out his will on the earth. Next question. In Mark 16:17, in the King James Version, Jesus said that believers would do blank in his name, whereas in John 14:12 and 13, Jesus said believers would do blank in his name. What goes in these blanks? Well, in Mark 16:17, Jesus said believers would do signs in his name, whereas in John 14:12 and 13, Jesus said believers would do works in his name. Next question. Well, which is it? Well, of course the answer is both are correct. They mean the same thing. Jesus said believers would do signs in his name. Jesus said believers would do works in his name. It's all the same thing. The same things, the works that Jesus did, believers are to carry out on the earth. Now, every believer won't have the gifts to carry out everything on the earth. For example, raising the dead. Jesus raised the dead, didn't he? Will every believer raise the dead? No. But the body of Christ in totality has that power, that if God wants that done on the earth, he can move through one of the members of his body on the earth to do that. Now, will everybody experience this? No. But some will. So what we need to keep in mind is Jesus had the anointing from his Father without measure, the Bible tells us. But as the body of Christ, we have this anointing with measure. However, the body of Christ in totality has it without measure, just like Jesus did. We will do, and in totality as a body of Christ, we will do the same works that Jesus did. Now, every believer will be able to do things like lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed, speak in new tongues, get people born again, all the things, preach in Jesus' name, cast out devils in Jesus' name, all of these things, when necessary, individual believers will be able to do with the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling their spirits. So, folks, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There are many things that the Holy Spirit wants to do on this earth that he's not doing right now simply because Christians are not being obedient to what he wants done. I mean, there's many more people that could be saved that are getting saved every day simply because they're not listening closely to what God wants them to do. But folks, we should never lose sight of the fact that we as believers have been given this power and this ministry, as it were, to do the works of God on the earth. Remember, we're his body, and there's no part of his body that's more important than any other part. And every part of his body has been been given certain gifts to carry out his will on the earth. And we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that we're able to do the things that God wants us to do. Name three signs that Jesus said that believers would do in his name in Mark chapter 16. Well, what are some of these things? Well, number one, you could put down casting out devils. Number two, you could say laying hands on the sick so they'll be healed. Number three, you could say believers will have immunity from the effects of poison substances in Jesus' name. And number four, if you want to have a fourth thing, you could say speaking in tongues. All these things are signs that Jesus said that believers would do in his name on the earth. Next question. Name the things Jesus said believers would do in his name in John chapter 14. Okay, let's look at some more things. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this. He said that believers in his name would do his works. The works that I do, shall ye do also, and even greater works shall ye do, because I go to the Father. So, in this particular place in the Bible, it said that we would do the same works that Jesus did when he was on earth, plus a couple more, some other works as well, called even greater works that Jesus did not work when he was on the earth. We'll talk about this a little bit more later. So the thing that goes in this blank is the works of Jesus and greater works. Name three works that Jesus did that believers can do in his name. What are these works in John chapter 14 that Jesus was speaking of when he said that works that I do shall ye do also? Well, number one, again, healing the sick. That was a work of Jesus, wasn't it? Casting out devils again. That was a work that Jesus did. He said we do these works too. Number three, occasionally even raising the dead. Now this is a little different because no specific promise is given in the Bible that every believer will be able to do this, because it takes the gift of faith and the working of miracles to work this gift, and not every believer has these gifts operating in their lives. But occasionally, yes, the body of Christ will do this. Here's a fourth work. Any work that Jesus did is possible for the body of Christ. Okay, so you could fill the blanks in this way. Healing the sick, casting out devils. And number three is any work that Jesus did is possible for the body of Christ. That's kind of a summary of what believers can do in Jesus' name, because they are his body. Remember, we're not on our own here. We're the body of Christ. We have been given authority to do these works. We don't have the power in our own, that's true, but we have the mighty power of the Holy Spirit indwelling our spirits if we're believers. And so that's how these works get done on the earth. Not that we're anything special, but we are special in the sense that we are born-again believers. We are members of the body of Christ, and the mighty Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that we have been given authority to carry out these works. So we have all that we need to do the works of Jesus on the earth. Next question. Name two works Jesus did not do before he went to the cross that might be considered even greater works that believers can do in his name. What would these be? Well, number one, leading people to eternal life in Jesus. That's something that Jesus wasn't able to do, really, before he went to the cross, because he hadn't gone to the cross and that eternal life was not yet available. However, now that Jesus has gone to the cross and been raised from the dead, then we can go lead people into this saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that's a greater work that believers can do. And that's number one. Number two, we can also lead people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's another work that Jesus didn't do because he hadn't gone to the cross and wasn't yet raised from the dead. And so here are two works that you might even consider greater works than Jesus even did, and that is the miracle of the new birth and leading people into the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which enables them to carry out the will of God on the earth with power. Next question. The three main ingredients that must be present to do these works are, and here I want you to summarize what we've learned so far, are the three things that are necessary and must be present to do these works. And they are, number one, be a believer. Number two, use the name of Jesus. Number three, have faith in the name of Jesus to do the job. Remember in Acts 3:16, or in Acts chapter 3, it starts, where Peter and John were walking into the temple one day, and it was a man begging there, and he'd been lame from his mother's womb, it said. He'd never walked, and he was begging alms. And Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he did. He rose up and walked. And that was the thing that Peter had, was the name of Jesus, didn't he? And then later on in Acts 3:16, when he was being quizzed about what happened and how he worked this mighty miracle, he said, "His name," talking about Jesus' name, "through faith in his name has made this man whole." So folks, we need faith in the name as well. We have the right to use the name, but we need to develop our faith in the name. So the three main ingredients that must be present to do these works are, number one, be a believer. Number two, use the name of Jesus. And number three, have faith in the name of Jesus to do the job. Next question. Give three Bible examples of believers using the name of Jesus to get results. Okay, what goes in these blanks? Well, number one, Acts 3:1 through 8 is the thing that we just talked about, where Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and this man was begging alms at the entrance of the temple, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So there's one example of a believer using the name of Jesus to get results, and that's in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Number two, how about Acts 16:18, where Paul cast the devil out of the damsel? Let's go back and read about that. Acts chapter 16, verse 18. And I'm turning to it right now. Verse 16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer," Paul is talking here, "a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation.' And she did this many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour." So again, here are believers. In this case, it's Paul and Silas. And this woman, this damsel, had been harassing them for days, following them around, yelling the same thing over and over. And I'm sure it was interfering with their ministry. And finally, Paul just turned around and cast the devil out of her using the name of Jesus. Why was he able to do this? Was it because he was an apostle? No. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, in my name shall he cast out devils." He cast them out because he was a believer. So there's the second example in Acts chapter 16. And a third example can be found in Acts chapter 9:27, which you don't hear talked about too much. And I'd like to read that because this is something every believer can do. Not that the other ones can't be done as well, but this one doesn't get as much publicity, so to speak. After Acts chapter 9, verse 27 says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles," talking about bringing Saul before he was named Paul. "He took him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way," talking about Paul, "and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." That's another thing, folks. If you're ever called upon to preach or do something like that, I think it's important to know that we are preaching in the name of Jesus. Preach in the name of Jesus. I used to end some of my teachings at the end of them and say, "In Jesus' name, amen." I mean, preaching in the name of Jesus, that's a special privilege that only believers have. They're the only ones in the world that can preach in the name of Jesus because they have permission to use that name and to function in that name. No other religion has this power. No other religion or belief has this anointing when they preach. No other founder of any religion is still alive. Only Jesus. Buddha's not alive. Muhammad's not alive. And they don't even claim they're alive. But Jesus is alive. That's a big difference, isn't it? And we can preach in that mighty name, and Jesus is behind it to back us up. So it's always good to keep in mind that when we go forth to minister, we do so in Jesus' name. And then what does it say in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, that happens when we do this? It says that Jesus goes with us, working with us. And I'll just read that really quickly because I think it's a really nice thing to know about when you go out to minister, that the Lord goes right along with you. It says here in verse 20, "And they went forth," this is after the Great Commission, "and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming his word with signs following." See, the signs follow the word. If you go out and preach in the name of Jesus, Jesus will go with you and back up what you say. Give the three requirements to successful prayer when praying according to John 16:23. Remember, this is our prayer scripture that we talked about earlier. Well, what are the three requirements for successful prayer when praying according to John 16:23? Well, number one, we need to pray to the Father, not to Jesus. That's number one. Number two, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, we use the name Jesus. We don't say things like "we pray in thy name" or "in his name" because those are just pronouns. We actually have to use the name Jesus in our prayer. That is Jesus' name, not his or thy, but Jesus. And number three, we must pray in that day. Remember in John 16:23, Jesus said this, and I'll just read it so I get every word just right. John 16:23, Jesus said, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." So, what are the requirements? Well, number one, pray to the Father. Number two, pray in Jesus' name. And number three is at the head of this verse says, "In that day you shall ask me nothing." Well, see, Jesus was still alive when he was speaking this, and that power to do this had not yet been given. It was only after Jesus went to the cross and was raised from the dead that believers had the right to do this. So Jesus said, "In that day." Well, we're living in that day right now. So the three things then are, number one, we need to pray to the Father, not to Jesus. Number two, pray in Jesus' name, not in thy name or his name. And number three, pray in that day as a believer. And we're in that day now, so every believer doesn't have to really think about this part of it, because since we're in that day now. So really, the only two things believers really need to know to have successful prayers: number one, pray to the Father, not to Jesus, and to pray in Jesus' name. Be sure you use the name of Jesus. And our final question. Give the three conditions given in John 15 for answered prayer, for successful prayer. Okay, well, if we go back and look at John 15, we'll find out that, number one, it says we need to abide in Jesus. That's John 15:7, and that means to be a believer. So there's that believer qualification again. Number two, we need to have His Word abiding in us so we can pray in faith. Okay, so if His Word is not abiding in us, we're not going to have the faith to pray. Because Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we're going to pray in faith, we need to have His Word abiding in us. And number three, also in John chapter 15, verse 16, it says we need to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So you can see that some of these requirements are basically the same as what we got in John 16:23, which is what we'd expect. But it's just worded just a little bit differently. Now let me go over very quickly what goes in these blanks. Number one, we need to abide in Jesus, which means be a believer. Number two, we need to have His Word abiding in us. This is what John 15:7 tells us. And that the reason is so we can pray in faith. Remember, when His Word abides in us, faith comes by hearing that Word. And then if we don't have that Word abiding in us, we won't have the faith to pray. And number three, we need to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Well, this then completes our homework for this lesson.